Greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley. I'm Bob Davis, and if it's 3 p.m. Central, it's Basic Gospel Live, and the phone lines are open for you right now at 844-322-2742. If you have Bible questions or if you're struggling with some issue of everyday life, why, we invite you to call and speak directly with us right now. The number again, 844-322-2742. If you're hearing a delayed broadcast on CSN or Sirius XM, you can get your questions to us in the same way by voicemail at 844-322-2742. And of course, that's good in the U.S. and in Canada. Either way, call now because it's Basic Gospel, everybody. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Andrew, great to have you with us today, as always.
Hey, great to be with you, Bob.
You know, Andrew, Bob, years ago, I went to a seminar back when I was in college and heard this guy. He was really a funny guy, but he was talking about how we read the Bible, and somebody had told him that when you go to the Bible, you want to have a pen with you, and when you come to a promise of God, you put a P by that particular verse, and then when you come to a command of God, you put a C by that particular verse. And he said after a while he just got seasick reading the Word of God because everything became a command and something that he just couldn't live up to. So Bible reading became just a source of condemnation in his life. And I think many people, as they go through the Word of God and read books and chapters and passages and individual verses, the Word becomes a trail of condemnation, but when you see it through the lens of God's grace, you realize that the Word of God is the story of Christ, and in that story, it's a trail of assurance, an assurance of God's love for you and me. And yesterday, we looked at one of the mountain peaks of assurance as far as the New Testament is concerned, and that was 1 John chapter 5, 11 through 13. And Andrew, take us to another one of those mountain peaks so that we can see this trail of assurance very clearly, that God does love us and that our salvation is guaranteed eternally.
Yeah, well, first of all, in the book of Hebrews, we see an incredible promise. In fact, it's a promise that God made to himself. In Hebrews 6, it says that God could not swear by anyone greater, so he swore by himself. And when he did that, he had God on one side and God on the other, and that's the anchor for our soul. And this is what Hebrews tells us. It goes on in the next chapter. It's not just about this incredible promise, but it's also about an indestructible life. In Hebrews 7, it says that Jesus is our high priest on the basis of his indestructible life. And then lastly, connected with that, Peter writes that we've been born of imperishable seed. So I love all of this because when you put it together, basically you've got God promising God, you've got Jesus's indestructible life, and then you've got us being born again of imperishable or undying or indestructible seed. And it puts us and Jesus together, and it puts our confidence in God's promise keeping, and it puts our confidence in the length of Jesus' life. I mean, you're going to be saved as long as Jesus lives, and that is forever. So it's the length of Jesus' life that is the length of your life. And eternal life is a person. It's not a gift package waiting for you in heaven. It's not a certificate or a ticket to heaven or something redeemable at heaven's gates. I mean, eternal life is Jesus's life, and that's why we will be saved as long as Jesus lives. It is his imperishable, indestructible life that has caused us to be born again. And Bob, that is an amazing promise that we have between God and God. We don't try to sustain it. God sustains both sides, and thank God, and thank God for that.
Absolutely. Well, Andrew, thank you for showing us those mountain peaks as far as this trail of assurance is concerned. You know, when I read early on the book of Hebrews, it seemed like I always stopped on the warnings and, those difficult passages and scratched my head and wondered why in the world, how in the world can I maintain my salvation if this is the requirement? And then everything shifted when I started to really recognize the love of God for me. Instead of stopping on those passages, the things that caught my attention were the very verses that you just mentioned. And you just, when like I said, when you understand this grace of God, man, your eye goes to those peaks in the Word of God, and you just stop in awe and amazement that God did such a marvelous thing for us in Christ Jesus. And your heart just overflows with this gratitude and this sense of humbleness that God's love is just that real and that powerful and that overwhelming.
Indeed. Yeah, it's something to celebrate. And I would say, Bob, that too many times the enemy's trying to get us to celebrate our sins. And what I mean by that is the accusation, the condemnation. Look at what you did. Look at how many times you did it. Look what an awful person you are. So there's all kinds of focus that can be shifted onto our sins. And God the Father is saying, don't be obsessed with your sins. Be obsessed with your Savior. And it's His indestructible life that keeps you. It's His life that you're born of, imperishable seed. And it's my promise, the Father would say, it's my promise to myself that keeps you. So whenever you find yourself looking at your track record, wondering how you could possibly still be saved, surely, Lord, surely I have ruined this somehow with my big sins or my frequent sins. We have to come back to God is a truth teller, and He says, I'll never, ever leave you. I'll never forsake you. Nobody can snatch you out of my hand, and nothing separates you from the love of God.
Absolutely. Well, all of these things that Bob and Andrew are talking about are underscored and expanded upon in Bob's new resource called Trail of Assurance. That's what we're talking about right now, Trail of Assurance. And friends, we want you to have a copy as you make your gift to support Basic Gospel during the month of September. All you need to do is simply go online to basicgospel.net and click that big prominent donate link right there on the homepage. And we really need your help right now. It's vital if we're going to continue to produce programming and resources that lead you into the Word of God and into the grace of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So take advantage of this opportunity to get Trail of Assurance when you make your gift this month to Basic Gospel. Again, you can donate right now at basicgospel.net and stand with us, friends. We would love to have your participation and your partnership with us. Well, Bob, we had this call that came in overnight, and so let's listen.
Hi, my name is Dale, and I hope you guys are having a great day. I just have this question. I've wondered about it before for a long time. Back in Genesis, it talks about Nephilim or the giants, and people are saying it was the fallen angels that slept with women. But in the New Covenant, it says that angels are spirits. And I'm just wondering how that could ever happen if angels are spirits. If you could answer that for me, I'd really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Boy, Andrew, people have been asking about this forever and a day, haven't they?
Yes. In fact, there are so many theories. Were these Nephilim, were they somehow aliens, or were they fallen angels? I mean, you could Google this, and my goodness, you come up with all kinds of crazy theories out there. As far as it being angels having relations with humans, I mean, we need to recognize that in Matthew 22, Jesus says that angels are not getting married, they're not given in marriage, In other words, they don't procreate. They don't have those organs to procreate. And so the idea that angels and humans are making babies together is absurd. And then aliens, well, I think we can leave that argument in Roswell, New Mexico, and
Territory 51 or something.
That's right.
Area 51.
Right. Yeah, so I think that when you look at Genesis and you look at the sons of God coming down and finding the daughters of men to be beautiful and having relations with them, I think the most logical interpretation of this, Bob, is simply that the sons of God refer to human beings that were in a high place. They were residing on a hillside. They were residing on a mountaintop. They had set up camp, so to speak, in a higher place. And then they come down into this valley, and they're excited to see beautiful women. And so next thing you know, they're together with these beautiful women, and there you have it. But I think that sometimes we'll read a verse, and there's not enough context there, and so our mind can go crazy, or we can look out, as I said, on the internet and find all kinds of crazy interpretations involving aliens or angels. And you know, this expression, sons of God, can certainly refer to human beings. And I think the most straightforward interpretation is simply that they came down from a higher place geographically.
Yeah. I guess the real craziness of this is that, the context that God seeing that, nothing but the wickedness of man was great, and this is what prompted the flood. So I think people try to make more of it than what it was, and I think we just have to get down to the fact that sin and death is an awful thing, and there was a judgment that happened through a flood. We see a plan of salvation that emerged from it that is a shadow and a sign of what we experience by faith in Jesus Christ through his death, burial, and resurrection. So that is the good news. God justifies the ungodly and credits us his righteousness by grace through faith. And that's a hallelujah right there.
Absolutely. Yes, indeed. About 12 minutes after 3 p.m. Central Time, if that's what time it is, as you're hearing this broadcast, it's the live broadcast, and you can come into the studio right now. Speak directly with us at 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go out to California and talk with Dennis. Hi, Dennis.
Hey, Dennis.
Hi, Bob. Bob, boy, it's good to hear you guys' voice again, I want to get your advice on something. I got some friends who have gotten caught up in John MacArthur's Lordship Salvation, and he has told them that we believe in a gospel known as easy believism, and it can't save anybody. Can you comment on that, please?
Yeah, well, certainly the idea of easy believism, it's an easy label to put on the gospel, but the Bible does say in Ephesians chapter 2, it says, by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not of yourself. It is the gift of God, so that nobody can brag about it. So Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light, and you will find rest for your soul. And we're told that in the new covenant, his commands are not burdensome. So if I'm listening to Jesus and his promise, then I ought to be on the lookout for something easy and light. I ought to be on the lookout for something that gives me rest for my soul. I should be on the lookout for something that is not burdensome. And so, unfortunately, when you start attaching other things to salvation, well, are you sure that you stopped all your sinning? Are you sure that you promised God that you would never do these things again? Are you sure that you prayed the prayer right and there was enough sorrow and enough tears and enough this and enough that? Well, that sort of argumentation, it gets Christians doubting. And what the enemy can do is use that sort of teaching to erode a person's confidence. And quite frankly, it's awesome that your question has come up today as we're talking about assurance of salvation, because, you know, you can't find assurance if you're constantly surveying your story and saying, did I do it right? Did I say it right? Did I cry enough? Was there enough repentance? Did I commit enough? Did I call him Savior only, or did I make sure that I called him Lord? And all of this sort of argumentation, I think you have to say, well, hang on. If I called upon the name of Jesus Christ to save me, then that implies that I believe he is who he says he is, that I believe he has the authority and power to save me, and that I am submitting to him to save me. And so I'm just thinking we need to leave some room here for baby Christians, for growth, for time to pass, for truth to be learned, for us to get our minds renewed. But when you come to a Christian who's been saved for a week, a month, a year, and you tell them maybe you didn't do it right, maybe you didn't commit enough, maybe you didn't repent enough, maybe you didn't promise enough, maybe you didn't quit enough stuff, we've really lost sight of what Jesus says is easy and light. It is by grace that you are saved. It is not of yourself. It's a free gift of God, so that nobody can brag about it. Bob?
Yeah, Dennis, that's been kind of a theology out there. And let me just give kind of a reason some of these theologies happen. We kind of swing the pendulum from one side to the other. And so this lordship salvation theology was a swinging of the pendulum against what leaders that started promoting that were seeing as cheap grace in different communities, different groups of believers. So they were saying, so this grace of God, we have to add something to it to ensure that those who buy into it are behaving properly. So it's a reactionary theology. And there's always danger in reactionary theologies, reacting against something that we see going on in, human behavior. I had somebody write to us the other day, Andrew, and said, man, you can't tell people that they're saved forever. They'll just go and do whatever they want, and they can renounce their faith. And you know why I say that? Because I had a friend that did that very thing.
Right.
He was a really devoted Christian, and then all of a sudden he's renouncing his faith and just going out and doing all sorts of things. So you're going to base your theology on your friend's experience? Man, that's allowing experience, human experience, to interpret the Word of God instead of the Word of God interpreting human experience. I mean, the Word of God is clear. They went out from among us because they were never a part of us. That tells the story. So we have to just let the truth stand and be willing and courageous enough to teach the simplicity of the gospel, the ease of the gospel, and leave the results of that in God's hands. So the gospel is very clear. It is the death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension of the Lord Jesus. It's his story, and he saves us through that story by grace through faith in him. It's plain, it's simple, it's black and white. But when you believe, when you call upon the name of the Lord, man, you are made brand new in Jesus Christ. And he comes to live inside of you, and he's big enough to work his life in and through us. So let's just rest in Jesus. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, well, thanks, guys.
Well, thanks, Dennis. Thanks for your call.
Yeah, good.
Sure appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, God, we had this question by email. A person says, the church I used to attend taught that only certain ones are called today. Does God call some people and not others, or is everyone called who has heard the gospel?
Yeah, well, when the Son of Man is lifted up, he will draw all unto himself. So who's doing the drawing? Well, God is doing the drawing through Jesus, but who is he drawing? Well, Jesus says he's drawing all. So if you're a Jew, if you're a Gentile, if you're a male, if you're female, if you're a human being, then you're invited. He's drawing all unto himself. And we read throughout the New Testament, you talk about promises. I mean, God has promised that his heart is, he wants none to perish. He wants all to believe. He wants everyone to come to repentance. John 3:16, which we see on poster board in a football game or whatever, for God so loved the world. It doesn't say God loved an elite group or God loved the special chosen group or anything like that. God was in Christ, Paul says, in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. And then he begs us, he implores us, be reconciled to God. So God wants everyone to come to repentance. Jesus is drawing all unto himself. Yes, there will be people who reject him, but that invitation is to anyone and everyone. Why? Because of the great love of our God, who sent his only begotten Son to die for whom? For anyone and everyone. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So guys, this is an open invitation, and all the more reason to be excited about getting the message out there, because you never know who's going to believe. There it is, right there in their ear. The message is not far away. It's right up in their face, and they've got that beautiful choice of calling upon him to be saved. And with God, there is no favoritism. There is no partiality.
And that is good news. And let's just couple that with, a couple of the passages in the New Testament that say today is the day of salvation. If you hear his voice, harden not your heart. So the Lord is being lifted up, his death, his burial, his resurrection, the fact that he died for our sins, which, listener, it means he died for your sins. It means he was buried to put an end to your old way of life and was raised back to life 3 days later, so that you today, in hearing this good news of Jesus Christ, could be made alive together with him, that you too could be raised to walk in the newness of life. So we pray that if you've never responded to the good news of Jesus Christ, that today will be your day to go from death to life and be named a child of God forever.
Yeah, absolutely. Good news, guys. Thanks for that. Sam wrote to us with a quote from Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19, and it says, I warn everyone who hears the words of this prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book, and if anyone takes away from the words of this book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. So Sam's question is, does this show that someone can lose their salvation?
What a great question on the heels of everything we're saying. Now, I want you to imagine a person that's going to write their own Bible. I want you to imagine a person who's going to write their own version of Revelation. I want you to imagine a person who's going to delete Bible verses from the book of Revelation and then throw in their own. Well, what does that tell you about that person's perspective? They're a false teacher, they're a false prophet, they're not in Christ, they're not a saved person. So this is a warning not for children of God, but for those who might fabricate their own gospel, a false gospel.
Andrew, great answer. Absolutely. And Andrew, as always, thank you for being with us on Basic Gospel. Thank you for enlightening us today to help us to see this trail of assurance that we walk on as children of God who have been saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. So, Andrew, we'll look forward to seeing you again next week at this same time.
Yes, indeed. Thanks, Andrew. Appreciate it, brother. Friends, we invite you to join Bob Christopher online Sunday mornings for Sunday Morning Live. That's 9:30 Central on both Facebook and YouTube. You'll find direct links to both platforms at the top of the homepage, basicgospel.net. Just choose your favorite platform, Facebook or YouTube, and I know Bob would like to have you join for that particular rendering. Well, thanks for being with us, everybody. Please remember that Basic Gospel is a listener-supported ministry, and we need your support to keep the good news coming. As always, you can make your gift at basicgospel.net. And as you make your September donation, be sure to request your copy of our new resource called Trail of Assurance. It's just really good to know that God loves you, and we want to help you rest in that truth. So please make your gift today if possible, and be sure to request your copy of Trail of Assurance. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, and with thanks as always to our friend Andrew for being with us today, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be back again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.